When I was a little kid, going to Mass every Sunday with my family, every so often, something really exciting would happen. Be right before Mass, sitting in the pew, all quiet and reverent, and I'd see one of the ushers come and tap my mom or dad on the shoulder and whisper, "Do you guys want to bring up the gifts?" And I look at my siblings, I'd be like, "Yes." And then after the petitions, we'd all get up and we'd go to the back of the church, and somebody would hand you the wine or the bread, and you'd be super nervous because you don't want to drop that. And then you get to walk down the main aisle. It's kind of like your whole family's on display for the whole community. Everybody's watching you. You give the bread or the wine to the deacon or the priest. Do a little bow. What a great privilege it is to be able to offer gifts to God. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Epiphany, when we remember the day that the wise men came to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. And the wise men teach us a very important lesson, a very important principle about what true worship entails. And the principle is this: when you come to worship the Lord, you don't come empty-handed. You come to offer gifts. You come to offer some sort of sacrifice. Worship and sacrifice are intimately connected. There is no true worship without some kind of sacrifice. And the wise men knew this. They come to Bethlehem, and the scripture says that they fall on their faces. They lie prostrate before this newborn king as an act of worship. But that's not all they do. They've got more to give than just a bodily posture. They've got gifts. They've got a sacrifice. And they offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these very expensive gifts they give to Jesus. Now, it's important to remember that the wise men gave the gifts not primarily for some practical purpose. It's not like they were thinking, "Oh, we better give these to the Holy Family because Mary and Joseph are poor and they probably could use the money." That wasn't the primary reason. Now, practically, did Mary and Joseph probably use those gifts for their needs? Absolutely. We know they left for Egypt not long after this. They probably used the gifts the wise men gave to help pay for their travel expenses, to help them get set up somewhere in Egypt. But again, that's not the primary reason the wise men offered those gifts was for some practical purpose. No, the primary reason they gave was because it was an act of worship. When we come to worship the Lord, we don't come empty-handed. Of all the times during the Mass that we could take up a collection, why do we do it when the gifts are brought forward? Remember, everything we do at Mass has some great symbolic value. The reason we pass the baskets during the gift procession is because those gifts you place in the basket, whether symbolically because you donate electronically or the check or the cash you put in the basket, that's an act of worship. That's a sacrifice that you're making as you come to worship the Lord this day. And just as the ancients offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that was what was valuable back then, now today we offer cash. At least in our culture, there are cultures today who will still offer different things at Mass. I have a good friend I went to seminary with. who's from Ghana, from West Africa, and he's a priest now back in West Africa, and he tells me stories about how during the preparation of the gifts that sometimes people will bring forward chickens or goats and just leave them right up there at the altar. If you're a poor farmer in West Africa, in Ghana, and in a small village, and you bring a goat and leave that there, that's a huge sacrifice. That's a huge gift. Side note, if anyone wants to bring like a goat as an offering to church in the future, I'd ask, don't leave it here at the altar. Just put it downstairs in Father Daly's office. That would be probably good. But again, the wise men didn't give their gifts fundamentally for a practical purpose. They gave as an act of worship. The same is true with us. The primary reason I donate money to the church is not because the church needs my money. That's secondary. Does the church need your money? Of course we do. We got to pay bills, we got to pay salaries, etc. But again, that's not the primary reason I give. The primary reason I give is because I need to give. It's good for me to give because it's an act of worship. It's New Year, 2024. Every time a new year comes around, it's a good opportunity to look at finances and say, okay, Lord, what am I doing? How am I doing in terms of my tithing, my giving to the church? Are you asking me maybe to give a little more this year? It can be easy to get in the habit of just, you know, writing the same check every week or electronic giving. I'm a big fan of that. That's how I give to St. Michael. But sometimes you can set that up and then 4, 5, 6, 7 years go by and you never take time to stop and go, gosh, how much am I giving every month or every 2 months or whatever? So maybe just a little reminder, maybe just a little time just to pray and say, Lord, beginning new year, how are you calling me to offer my financial gifts as an act of worship this year? When we come to worship the Lord, we don't come empty-handed. Our gifts, our whole lives, our financial gifts are part of that act of worship that we do. And the gift procession is meant to remind us of that, that I come to worship and I come to offer gifts. Tonight, as we celebrate the Eucharist, as we celebrate this great feast of the Epiphany, let's ask that we'd have the grace of generosity that the wise men had. And that we would always remember this principle that when I come to worship Jesus, I come with gifts to offer. Gifts for the King of Kings.